Recently, our people-powered podcast, Brave Little State, got a question about gold in Vermont. Peter Brown of Vernon said he'd heard Vermont had had a few mines back in the day. And Peter wanted to know, is this true? And if so, where were the mines and when were they used? VPR's Kathleen Masterson did some digging, pun obviously intended, and here's what she found.
Did Vermont have two gold mines? The short answer is yes. In fact, for a brief time, there were many more than two mines in Vermont.
On this map, you see all these kind of gold thick lines, and those are all the streams where they found gold.
This is Marjorie Gale, Vermont state geologist. She's showing me a map from 1861. It's like a treasure hunter's dream. It marks out what seems like a river of gold following the spine of the Green Mountains, with a few areas of higher concentration in the Plymouth Bridgewater area, east of Killington Mountain.
And is this trustworthy? I mean, would there be false gold, or are all these, do you think all these reports are accurate?
I think they're probably all accurate. It hasn't been an economically or commercially viable operation, but certainly people go out and find flakes of gold.
And those flakes of gold inspired a flurry of mining activity in Vermont back in the 1850s.
It all really began with the 1849 gold rush in California.
That's amateur historian Coleman Hoyt. Hoyt has been fascinated by Vermont's gold history for decades. And for the last 80 years, since he was 11, he's lived in North Bridgewater on the optimistically named Gold Coast Road, so called for its proximity to the old mines in the area. Hoyt says the allure of the California gold rush drove many Vermonters west, though very few made much money. But, he says, the story goes that two of those men returned to Vermont
and realized that the topography of our part of Vermont was quite similar to Sutter's Mills in California.
Sutter's Mills was a hotspot for gold in the Sierra Nevada. And Hoyt says the men would go fishing near Killington.
And by gosh, they found little sparkling nuggets in our brooks in Bridgewater and Plymouth. And that started the gold rush here.
And to this day, you can still walk through the forest and poke around the remnants of the old mines.
We're at Camp Plymouth State Park, and we're going to set up the old Jeep trail that leads to the Henry Fox Mine along Buffalo Brook.
Nelson Alinsky is a gold panning hobbyist, and he's a self-taught Vermont gold historian. By studying old photos and maps, he's found the foundation of some mine buildings and the underground tunnels.
And you won't believe it, but welcome to the Fox Mine.
Whoa, we're in it?
Yeah, pretty much. people literally walk by this area.
He pulls out an old photo. It shows how there used to be several brick buildings alongside the river. A mill for crushing quartz chunks, housing for the workers, cool. And the office of the assayer, who was like a prospector.
This was the assayer's office.
So we're in what's left of what would you say, like 3-4 feet tall?
Yeah.
Basement?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, we've done the foundation for that.
Then there's the remnants of the mine shaft itself.
Yeah, here's the other.
Oh, other rail.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He taps the twisted iron railroad tie, the only remnants of the tracks that went into the now collapsed horizontal mine shaft. The rails supported horse-drawn carts, which ferried piles of ore out of the underground mine.
It actually travels for 300 yards up the mountain to where the vertical shafts are.
And was it big enough that the cart went in the mountain?
Yeah, totally went in.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, you can see this is all that broken up schist material that they were working. Yeah.
Even more astounding is the vertical mine shaft that they were able to connect to this tunnel. We huff and puff up the steep hillside, and then suddenly, with no warning,
whoa!
In the middle of the nondescript forest floor is a gaping 20-foot wide hole that prospectors carved by dynamite blasting.
Holy cow!
Yeah, this is what everybody calls the 45-degree shaft. Connects to the other two, but yeah.
I mean, it looks kind of sparkly. Am I just getting the gold fever?
I think you're getting gold fever. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, this is a huge hole in the earth.
Yeah, and again, so just dynamite and chisels?
Yeah.
Wow. Because yeah. This one's at least 20 feet wide.
Yeah.
And then who knows how big the actual
proportions
are.
A lot of sweat and a lot of backache.
Alinsky is talking about all the manpower that went into building this mine. Because after some prospectors found gold flakes, there was a mini boom in gold mining activity in the Plymouth area, according to local historical societies. Coleman Hoyt says a small but vibrant community grew up around the men who came to work the gold mines. Called Plymouth Five Corners, the town had a hotel, a school, and a dance hall. Photos from the Plymouth Historical Society show women in floor-length dresses and hats sitting in the shade while watching men digging in the riverbank, scooping silt and gravel into a sluice to wash and separate, looking for gold.
Oh, in Bridgewater, there were over 100 people working in the gold mines. That's more people than worked on farms. It was the major occupation in Bridgewater and in Plymouth.
Locals say that today, Plymouth Five Corners is a virtual ghost town. The only remnants are the numerous cellar holes where homes used to stand. By some accounts, Vermont had 40 to 50 mines in its heyday. But to be clear, a mine could refer to anything from dynamite-blasted piles of quartz to an actual mine shaft dug into the earth. And no matter how you count the number of mines, the question of whether prospectors made any money from Vermont gold is not under debate. State geologist Marjorie Gale says all her predecessors have been skeptical of the practice. She quotes one of them from 1930.
Again, let me say that in my opinion, it is entirely useless to throw away money, time, and labor seeking gold in Vermont. And that's 1930. That's also in 1928 and 1929. Over and over, they just say, stop. You shouldn't be investing in it. You know, you might find some, but you're never going to get rich.
Basically, both geologists and eventually prospectors determined that while there is gold in Vermont, there aren't deposits large enough to make enough money to pay for all the digging and crushing and sluicing. Still, Coleman Hoyt points out that a few people did make money off Vermont gold.
There are two ways you can make money out of gold mining in Vermont.
The first, he says, is to do what he did for a hobby, to give tours of old gold mines.
And the other way, of course, is to sell stock in a gold mine.
And this happened in the 1880s. There still exists a 46-page typed stock prospectus selling shares in the Rooks Mining Company, though later state reports suggest it was nothing more than a get-rich scheme. Still, while the industry may have been but a flash in the pan, so to speak, the legacy of Vermont's gold mining continues to this day with skilled hobbyists like Nelson Alinsky still working the rivers and teaching others how to pan for gold. Back in Plymouth State Park, about a mile downstream from the old Rooks Mine, Alinsky breaks out his shovel and gold pan. He picks a river bend where the water would have likely deposited some of the heavy metal and starts digging.
Okay, so we're down to like a quarter cup of soil,
yeah.
Silt.
Yeah, and that's actually a piece of a garnet right there.
Oh, cool.
And then, without any fanfare, he struck gold.
You can barely see him. Just one tiny little...
You'd think he'd be hooping and hollering, but he was calm. I was pretty excited, but tried to keep my cool.
Oh, man.
We'll see if we can get it down
like
a little
bit.
It's
like a pencil point of gold.
Yeah, I like little pieces like that. Because it means it's not far from the source. You see how it sticks to the bottom of the pan?
Yeah.
It's right there.
Wow. There's a couple.
Yeah.
The tiny specks are barely visible to me, but Alinsky assures me it's gold. He can tell by the glint and by how heavy the material is. He demonstrates by shaking the pan.
Watch it. See it? Right there?
Yeah.
No, it's everything else around it. So it moves.
And the gold
glues itself to the bottom of the pan. That's how you know it's gold.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, 10 of those make a dollar.
Whoa.
So it takes a lot of gold.
Still, Alinsky and his wife spend many summer weekends panning for gold, and he teaches a gold panning class for any would-be enthusiasts. He's mastered the art of reading a river and finding those milky quartz veins that may contain gold. Alinsky says Yankees are tight-lipped about how much gold they've collected, but he gathers about an ounce a year, and it's as close to pure as you'll find, 23.5 carats. But Alinsky says he wouldn't sell it. For him, it's just about the hunt and spending time outdoors with family and teaching others about Vermont's gold history.
That was Kathleen Masterson. To hear the rest of our Vermont History episode, search Brave Little State in your NPR One app and tap to listen to the latest episode. The music you heard in this segment was by Jockers Dance Orchestra, Avon Comedy 4, David Seitzte, and Poddington Bear. Brave Little State has support from the VPR Journalism Fund and Up Mountain Switchel.